What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 131 of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
We're back with another dope episode. Before I get into that, shout out to everybody. I see you in the comments talking about our topics and whatnot and what you thought about them and whether you were on our side. And for the most part, everyone seems to agree. We had one person that was a little, you know what I mean? But we handled that in-house situation. It wasn't anything ban-worthy, but it was something that we needed to address. And there was another person who commented, which I appreciate, talking about The Rock. And they went a little left. I want to make sure that people understand that, you know, outward assessments of people, like, you don't know the people 100%. So saying certain things don't fly with me. It's also under the banner of me getting upset at things that I don't know. Like, if I don't know this to be true, why am I upset? It's just a waste of time. So, yeah, the criticism was interesting, but, you know, be easy. You know what I mean? I know this is going to fall on deaf ears, but I just like to, like, my position on it is that you could be easy and disagree without slandering somebody. We did not slander The Rock on that two episodes ago, okay? It was very much a, you know, we were discussing what he did openly, not his personal whatever. So, cool. Be easy. aside from that, I want to talk a little bit about, like, what's coming up in the next week. Content is going to be a little different because I'm going to be going to PAX next weekend, which is very interesting because I haven't flown on an airplane as if you fly on anything. Well, actually, I've been on a helicopter. Never mind. I haven't flown on an airplane since the last time I went to E3, which was like, shoot, before I got married. It's been a minute.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. And so I'm a little, you know, I've always been afraid of heights. Well, at least after a certain point in my life, I was afraid of heights. Planes have been okay, though, because I feel like I've gotten to the point where I can tell myself that I am, like, if my feet are touching something solid, then I feel like I'm okay, you know? Yeah. But
you don't sit next to the window, do you?
Right, I do. Or I have. I don't choose it. Sometimes I have. And I can actually look out and be okay because I feel like I'm in a box that is, I've gotten to the point where I can tell my brain certain things and it works, right? Same thing with, like, or in the idea of, like, I have to do what I have to do. So taking an elevator ride to the top floor, got to do it. I hate it, but got to do it, right? But the difference now, I think, is that with being a younger person versus an older person, mm-hmm. and the responsibilities that I have, your brain looks at life a little differently and, you know, the risk you're willing to take and not take and stuff like that. And it's not like I'm bungee jumping, but it just kind of puts you, you know, so you understand where my mind is or whatever, right? Because I'm going to be there September. Well, I'm leaving September 3rd, but I'll be there mm-hmm. until the 5th, 6th, 7th, I think. Mm-hmm. Then I'm flying back, taking multiple planes to get there because it's in Seattle. Never been to Seattle, which is another one of my fears. Not Seattle. I'm not afraid of Seattle. Of being lost because living in another country at one point, I got lost while in Berlin, Germany. That was not a cool experience. And though I could speak some German, it wasn't enough to read all the signs. It was not enough to. Mm-hmm. There's like an area that being stationed in where there's a lot of Americans. Mm. And then once you get past that point, there's less and less English. And so, taking a trip and, you know, accidentally getting on the wrong bus type situation, not cool. So, like, that stuff kind of follows me or whatever. Yeah. And so the fact that I'm going to a place that I've never been to on an airplane has a nice concoction of anxieties bubbling. I got an email from my flight itinerary. Yeah. And immediately was like, I need to go take a breath. Like, I need to go over here or whatever and, you know, focus on my breathing for a little bit. But we're going to do it. We are definitely going to go. There's going to be a lot of content, whether it's me writing for different websites or posting on the YouTube channel. So if you haven't subscribed already, you should. I think that's the point that I'm getting at, is that you should do that because there's going to be a lot of cool stuff. That also means that our normally scheduled things might not happen on their normal schedule. So just want to throw that out there. Aside from that, how have you been? I've been good. What about you?
I've been, you know, I've been.
You bet.
I worked.
Yes.
Yesterday was my birthday.
Yes, happy belated birthday.
Yeah. So I slept.
That is good. That is an awesome thing to do. Like, we low-key just don't understand naps and how important they can be.
So important.
They're very good at a, like, you think like, oh, you hate naps when you were younger. Like, you want to, I want to go play. I don't want to nap. Naps are like really great. They're underrated.
They're underrated. I wish we could get more of them. I've been really tired. And I really am. Like, I feel like I don't get a day off. And so I've just been really tired. And I have napped. I tried to nap. I have tried to play The Sims, even though update after update.
Yeah.
Just update. And I'm like, yeah, we're not. We get another update. And then I don't want to be this person, but I'm really considering not playing with mods anymore.
Oh, snap.
I know. And it's so funny because I feel like this typically happens to people a lot later, you know, after they get tired of it and then they just stop. And I haven't been playing this game really long enough for that to be a thing, but I think it's because I don't have, like, the game isn't all I do. You know, I do know
right.
people who literally don't do anything else but play The Sims. Like, and, you know, I have a full-time job that's psychotic and a full-time dog that's
And you're basically doing The Sims in real life. So.
And I'm doing The Sims in real life, and I myself am special needs. So I,
That might be cool, though, to do it without mods, because then all of the random happenings that can happen without, you know, without controlling stuff could lead to more interesting stories. You never know.
And honestly, my most interesting stories are, I mean, the stories that I would tell you guys in the very beginning were not modded because I didn't know what mods were when I started
exactly.
playing. And so, you know, all the crazy things that were happening were just clean and unadulterated. Gameplay. It was just, you know, crazy things that are happening. People are like, but I swear, I also swear that the way The Sims works is that when you're a new account, I think that the game is different. I think that the game is hardwired to behave in the most chaotic way possible.
Oh, for sure.
Like on your first load, and then like even after you have played, and then you start new games, like a new save. I think after that, it's just like. It's like, we got you the first time, you know, because my game was just, I mean, baby sleeping outside. It's just crazy.
Wild. Stuff. I see you have a new scroll in the back with the DBZ boys.
Yeah, everybody. So
nice.
I don't know if I had this one before in my last time. When I was at my last place. But yeah, so we got the guys here looking all serious, looking like they're about to go do something. They ain't going
right.
to do nothing. They ain't doing nothing. They want to look all strong and be like, yeah, we just worked out. Yeah.
Right.
We were just in what was that gravity place that they used to go into?
Oh, yeah, the time chamber place. Yeah, they're like, I wish a Saiyan would. That's what they look. And then they get wiped. A freaking Nappa or something.
Totes.
Today we're going to be talking about a couple things. We're going to speed by a couple of topics just because I think people have talked about them enough. But since we mentioned them previously on other podcast episodes, we wanted to spin the block and talk about them. One of the first things being the GTA 6 trailer on Netflix. Personally, I don't think it was worth the money that Netflix paid out. Assuming they paid anything for it. I do think the trailer was cool.
It's cool.
I missed some things that normally happens with a deep dive type trailer. Mm-hmm. Being a gamer for a long time and seeing a lot of these over the years, I understand what they were showing. They're showing bits of story along with gameplay that also preps you for things that you're going to see later. So the idea that you can switch between the two characters whenever you want, whether one is skydiving and another person is on the couch talking with his friend, there's relationship things. So like you can press a button to hold hands with the two main characters. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of cool little things that some of them were in previous GTA games, but not to this extent. And then some things that are like totally brand new. Mm-hmm. Even the idea of like putting on masks and stuff like that, which was brought from the GTA Online stuff, has been put into the game. Looks really, really cool. But having no voiceover or someone making commentary about like what's happening, jumping to different scenes, like later parts in the story, is a little jarring for people if you weren't used to this sort of thing. It looks like a regular trailer, extended play that had the commentary, and Netflix is like,
let's take it out.
Yeah. Or Rockstar was like, let's take it out. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't think it was necessarily worth, I don't think it would, it did what it, if people were thinking like people were going to subscribe to see this. And like I said before, I don't think that was going to happen anyways. I think this was an all eyes on me situation. And I think it worked for that. It was successful because I went to see it on Netflix prior to it releasing on YouTube because everyone was talking about it. That's essentially it. So it worked. You have Netflix's name side by side with GTA, and that's all they really wanted, as well as being a test to see, oh, how many people can we get to actually look at this thing? Is it worth, you know, especially for people if they, I don't know if they're going to do this, but if they do longer videos and they have like for the free tier ads in between stuff, that might be a thing. Just saying. But yeah, overall, I thought it was okay. I'm looking forward to the video game. It looks fun, but this wasn't something that needed a Netflix drop, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. So. I didn't really understand what we were doing. Right. I'm not even joking. I was just like, why is this here? Because
exactly,
I wasn't 100% sure what they were showcasing. The thing that I thought was cool was like, hey, we're back in Vice City. I was just like. And that I peeped as soon as I can't remember exactly when but I was like, why does this look like Vice City? And then you hear them say something, something, something back in Vice City. And I was like, oh, snap.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. So why are we on Netflix? Like, why is it getting a theatrical release? That's what it felt like.
Right.
Because I just didn't understand the, I don't know, like, I didn't understand maybe the cinematic push. I get like the game is beautiful. So again, I think what I'm trying to say is I didn't understand what they were trying to showcase, because if it was something new, like GTA has been known for the last, I guess, kind of that it looks a certain way, right?
Right.
Like it's been getting better. It's been getting more realistic. It's been getting, right. I mean, because doesn't it have like the online doesn't, you don't even have to like play, like, right? Can't you like just have like a club? Can't you just like do little things and
yeah,
not like
they role play, people role play and stuff like that on there. Yeah,
that's what somebody I knew had told me. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, we just do this. We don't do missions. We just hang out here. And,
exactly.
And I'm like, so it's The Sims, so like it's just, but with a lot more violence or something, you know, whatever.
Right.
But like, So I didn't know what they were showcasing. I didn't know if they were showcasing new animation. I felt like if they were doing that, then not having the voiceover was a bad call. Like, cause we've watched releases. Like I remember being young, like still living in my mother's house and watching the release for Rainbow Six, the first one or something like I remember those. I remember I used to be really into that, and I'm like, oh my God. And you had the developers talking, and you were
exactly.
Like, hey, this is what we wanted to showcase. Oh, by the way, we're showcasing this new creeping feature and the shadow feature. Like they're like, you can actually see shadows. So now you can figure out if, you know, an enemy is it, or your shadow will cause an enemy to realize you're there. Oh, we're also showcasing the new creep around, like peek around the wall feature that you didn't have before. So none of that happened in this. And that's why I was just, it was cool to watch. And I was like, oh, I like the fact that you can switch between the character. But then I was like, wait a minute, but couldn't you switch between the characters in the other game where there was the three people in the beginning and you had to get through that thing and shoot everybody, which I suck at. So everybody kept dying. But like, you know, you're switching between the two of them. And I was like, oh, this is cute. You know, they're together, they're in a relationship and they kill them, Bonnie and Clyde and whatnot. And in Miami. Cool. That's cute. Don't know who they are, what they're doing, you know, like they're not cops, clearly, blah, blah, blah. And that's cool. The little storytelling was cool. But then it became a little disjointed because it was like, okay, so we're going here and then we're going here and then we're going here. And it didn't seem continuous anymore.
Right.
So I wasn't sure what, like, because, you know, in Vice City, it's like, oh, by the way, after you finish this, you do this and you do this and you do this. And then finally you get to the helicopter. And so I wasn't sure what they were telling us, because also I was like, well, I'm sure you guys don't want to tell us the whole game. And so I feel like having that voiceover would have been helpful to tell us exactly what it was they were showcasing. Because otherwise I was like, it's just a pretty trailer with story and then some gameplay and then some story and then some gameplay, but it wasn't continuous. So
yeah, it's weird. It was weird because it felt like the commentary would have been there normally. Interesting, cool experiment, if you will. Shout out to them. I hope it did whatever they thought it was going to do.
Yeah, whatever they wanted it to.
But it was, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. Although the Discord on Twitter is bananas, but that seems to be the case with everything. So anywho, the next thing we wanted to talk about was Meta again. We talked about Meta and them, you know, being in a lawsuit based on child safety and addictive features seemingly built into Facebook and the other apps that they own and whatnot. And so they actually reached a settlement recently, as of a few days ago, in the sum of $17 billion, which is bananas on so many levels, because usually when there's a settlement, they're settling, the amount of money that they're settling is like a toss in the bucket, or however that saying goes, right? Not a lot of money in their pockets. It might be millions, but to them, it's not a lot, because we're settling so it doesn't go to court. Here's a couple mil. You be quiet. We're good and move on. And people get upset because it's like, that's not going to produce any change. In this case, considering change, there's a lot of change here, $17 billion worth. I'm over at NPR and looking at what they wrote. Shout out to John over there. Says the social media company Meta and states suing it have agreed to settle a landmark federal child safety lawsuit in a move that state attorneys general hope will be a turning point for youth safety and social media platforms. One of the things, this is me talking now, that I thought was interesting was how did they, what was their like drive behind the suit? Because if it's just it being addictive, I don't know how that's going to work. But based on what they're saying here was that Facebook and Insta, or the apps that Meta owns, Facebook and Instagram, were addictive to kids and knew about the risk that those platforms pose, but hid that information. So that the stuff that's in Meta or in Meta's apps are addictive, and they knew about it, certain information they knew about, but they kept it to themselves, obviously, for what they're alleging here is for some type of gain, right? And that being eyeballs. And so, going back to the article, in addition to the claims that Meta broke state consumer protection laws, the state accused Meta of violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act by collecting data about children under the age of 13. Meta has a policy of not allowing kids under 13 on its platforms, but some skirt the rule by registering with false birth dates. This was another thing that I had an issue with, and not 100%. Granted, I'm not keeping for Meta because, you know, you've heard what Tess has said on previous, you know, Meta topics. I am in agreement with her. That being said, I do want, because this is something that is going to affect other places. And so I'm trying to understand. And I also have a stance in terms of like what parents should do with, in terms of helping their kids deal with online, social, whatever the case may be, apps. And so that being said, with them going around these acts and doing things that they shouldn't have done, like collect data under, for underage people, I'm like, I can't help. There's nothing I can do. I understand the idea of having parents come in and say, hey, you've been on your phone too long. Give me that. Shutting off the Wi-Fi. There's all these things that we have in our house where we can just, you know, hit a button, boop, no Wi-Fi. You know what I mean? And so, but in this case, is there, what made me weary of the settlement or the lawsuit in terms of them winning was you have to actually prove that Meta did something wrong. If they have, you know, things to say, put your age in. If they have protective features or whatever, and people get over those, either you can say, hey, you need to strengthen those features, and that's an industry-wide thing, or it's on the parents. In this case, though, they're saying Meta was basically being shady. And so they settled $17 billion in penalties that are going to the states. They have to pay it over, I think, 10 years. And they have to make significant changes to how their platforms are ran. I'm not sure exactly what those are, because this is, I mean, that goes into more like legal and whatnot. But for the most part, they have to make a change. And this is something that is going to be kind of hovering over other apps like TikTok and YouTube, because they're a part of the same bubble. And YouTube had already been in issues when it came to children. I don't know if you know, I think I spoke about it in a previous podcast where they had the whole child ring thing going on, and, you know, people were using the comments to kind of recruit children into stuff. Go Google it. It's a thing. And so that kind of got, I don't want to say swept under the rug, but whatever legal things happened. Those people were arrested, et cetera, et cetera. And I think YouTube put in some safety measures, but considering what just happened with Meta, I think Google and some other places or other apps, or companies that own apps, I should say, are going to have to really look into what this means going forward and how they, you know, handle these things, because a lot of them mirror each other. We look at TikTok and how you could just continually scroll. YouTube has shorts now. You can continually scroll. You know what I mean? Like, there's things that are addictive about each app and are specifically made to be that way via algorithms and you know, there's a whole conference at GDC talking about how developers can make stuff more addictive to get people to come back and do things, and how it was promoted. And it's like, these are all bad things, especially if they're hidden. You know what I mean? So just very interesting information, and that could, we could see changes across the board. Hopefully all good changes. Especially with, you know, I'm thinking like my kids and what they do and what they're allowed to do and not, you know, allowed to do and stuff like that. And I'm like, these are all good. If this, you know, comes to pass, hopefully no one gets laid off, because that's how these things happen with them needing to pay. Like, they have the money, but it's like, we got to stay in the, you know, in the black. So people might get laid off. And, you know, all those other things. Right.
You're gonna fire me because y'all messed up, because y'all wanted to trick some kids and y'all wanted to get some kids addicted to your app. So I gotta get fired.
Hey.
Meanwhile, I was just the person who got coffee for the meeting, and I gotta get fired.
Facts.
I didn't do nothing to no kids, but I gotta get fired.
Shoo.
Mm-mm, absolutely not.
Let me borrow a kid real quick so I can get some of this money, right?
Let me become a state so I can get some money.
Right. Oh, man. Shout out to the states, you know, and you know, they've been trying to get not just on that stuff, but they've been trying to get Meta for tons and tons of the misinformation stuff that they've been doing. Yeah. So I'm looking forward. Y'all need to slide over to Twitter.
Get Twitter and just go for Elon.
Yes.
Do
the thing. Please do the thing. And it has to be more than $17 billion, though, because he's a freaking trillionaire. It's like, want to throw up. Anyways, the next thing we want to talk about, very briefly, because I don't have the words to express how I feel. I think the last time we did this with a couple of celebrities, you know, when Chadwick passed away and a few others, we said some nice things, but I am not Mark Lamont Hill in that regard, where I could just off the top say some really amazing things. I don't know if he has a script or not. Shout out to him. But I can't do that. What I can do is share a little bit about some of them and what they meant to me over the years.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, we had a bunch of people pass just this month, or the past 2 weeks, I think. Tim Curry passed, Dolly Parton passed, Michael Wright passed. He's the actor from The Five Heartbeats and a bunch of other, you know, black films. He's also in HBO's Oz, awesome television show. We had Peter Cullen pass, the voice of Optimus Prime. He's actually the voice of a bunch of people or a bunch of characters.
People don't even know.
Right. Optimus Prime.
Toonami.
Yes, Toonami. Toonami, the voice of Toonami. Yeah. And that one really, like, all of them was impactful to me, like hearing them pass away. But I think that one was one of the the one that hit closest to home, I think, because of what the Transformers has meant to me over the years, what Peter Cullen has meant over the years, seeing or hearing his voice and the stuff that he stood for, just put being portrayed out, was very positive, like very positive, you know, morally sound, honorable type stuff. And like just childhood up to a certain point was always like, oh man, Peter Cullen. Like I always wanted to have like a conversation with him in general about the stuff that he's done. And so that was really like, man, like it's definitely unfortunate. But yeah, a lot of these people passed within a few days of one another. And then there's also Hayden from Heroes, the show Heroes, Nashville, which that was wildly sudden because she was only 36. And, you know, she was getting ready to release a book and, you know, she was on, you know, she was doing the thing where, you know, they go around, they talk about the things that they're going to be talking about in the book and stuff like that. And was just seemingly gearing up for other things. And it was like, man, just time cut short, you know, Dolly Parton, who's like legendary in several aspects. If we're talking country music and we talk about the philanthropy stuff that she's done.
I'm still pretending that Dolly hasn't died, so.
Man, it feels like a Betty White moment in a sense, you know what I mean? And it's like really, I don't know. It's a lot. A lot of these people were tied to, as you know, the older folks were tied to childhood growing up. Yeah. And I think people might not, because some people are out, you know, I guess younger folks are like, you know, this is sad, but why does it bother you? Like to the extent. And I guess people forget how impressionable you are at a certain age. Yeah. I think. And I've said this 1,000 times, A Different World, is one of the reasons I wanted to go to college. Like I wanted to go to college because it was forced on us at a certain time in the '90s. Like you have to go to college, you will be nothing. You know what I mean? But what made me, it was more like I have to go. What made me want to go was A Different World. Yeah. And I tie it strictly to that because I was like, oh, this is positive. These are black folks that look like me. They sound like me and it's all great. Like, I want to go there. You know, and so like there's positive things, you know, even from people who I'm not going to mention his name because he doesn't need to be mentioned with these people. But even people who you find out aren't as great, you know, the stuff that they said that was positive really stood around or stood the test of time, you know. And so, yeah, Tim Curry, you know, he's in my favorite film of all time, Legend. I know it hasn't aged well, but just hear me out.
I love Legend.
Favorite movie of all time. And I have both versions of the film. And I know that there's better movies, but when I saw it at the age that I saw it, what it did for my imagination.
Exactly.
Like, these are things, that is my Lord of the Rings for the people who saw Lord of the Rings as a child.
Exactly. That's what it is.
Not quality wise. I want to preface that. Not on the same quality. What I'm saying is for my imagination, what it did for my imagination, me wanting to be an artist, me wanting to go into certain fields, these things spoke to me in a way that regular cinema didn't. And so, yeah, you looked at those people, and not to say that I've met Tim Curry or anything, but
I mean,
I would have liked to, kind of like how we did with you know, Scott Derrickson, how we spoke with him. We found out that he likes anime. We found out like how he got into films, which was him watching another film, you know, being inspired. And he becomes a director. Like the media that you, which is why it's so important to really, you know, curate some good stuff for you to watch. But the media that you look at, the art that you watch or consume, does have an effect. Mm-hmm. And not in a sense of like, if I play GTA, we just were talking about that, I'm going to go shoot up somebody. I'm not saying to that effect. I mean, there's a lot of positive stuff that comes from it. And these people had a positive influence on me and a bunch of other people. And so
I agree.
It's sad I'm saddened to hear them, you know, that they passed, especially if it was sudden or, you know, some type of illness or whatever the case may be. Shout out to their families, prayers and whatnot. Because, it's rough, especially back to back to back to back to back, you know?
Yeah. I can just pretend. I'm serious. Like I will compartmentalize.
Right. It's tough. You know? I couldn't pretend with when Chadwick passed.
That was not possible.
that was such a rough, that, I mean, that was like, wasn't that during COVID?
It was, you know what, it was 6 years ago.
It was rough.
For
mentally.
Me, it was, for me, again, because I noticed the change and I said he was sick. I said it. I was like, I know that he is sick. I know it. I was like 100%. I know it. I was like, it looks like cancer. That's what it looks like. And that's what it, and that's why when, because I'm not going to forget when I found out, like, I remember what I was doing and I'm like,
yeah,
so it's hard. Lillian obviously took it differently. You know, she knew him.
Right.
Like I was like, this is not.
It was a shock. It was a shock to the system.
A shock, and it was very painful, and it just sucked, and it was just all around. And then, and so, like, sometimes you know, these are famous people, and we don't know them, right? We are not in their everyday lives, but they're in ours because we consume the media that they're in. But like, there are times when we really can compartmentalize, or we can disassociate, and we're able to. Like, even with Dolly, I was at work and my coworker is like, I just walked right back in the room. Dolly Parton, I almost fell out. I literally almost fell out. I grabbed the countertop and I was like, nope. And I said, nope. I don't know. I was like, stop talking. She's like, I know. I'm so sad. Stop talking.
Right.
Stop talking. I'm going to get some coffee. Anybody want some coffee? I know there's no cups, but you want some coffee, because we ran out of cups. And I'm like, so Dolly wanna die and we ain't got no cups. And I'm offering coffee out of my hands. Just drink it out of my hands, y'all. I'm like, I'm just trying to keep it all together. So stop talking.
Right.
I don't wanna know this. I don't wanna know it. In fact, I don't know it. I'm good. I'm minding my business. And I'm gonna stay off Twitter because keep scrolling and this is all I see. So how about I'm just gonna pretend? And I can pretend, but the people who are closest to them can't pretend. That's their people, you know, and so I don't want to be disrespectful by me saying, like, me trying to get through the day, just being like, hey, these individuals, I'm going to pretend that it didn't happen, because I can just go and consume their media and they're right here in the room with me. And I pretend that they're alive, where those individuals don't have that ability.
Exactly.
That's somebody that's dear and close to them that is gone.
Right.
They can't just sit there and pretend. And so, you know, it feels a certain type of way. And I'm sitting here again.
Our next topic, speaking of movies, I wanted to talk about this real quick because I think it's really interesting. Chris Hansen is thinking about suing A24 over their a movie that they're producing. I believe producing is the word, called Primetime. Yeah. Shout out to I'm looking at The Wrap. Who wrote this article? Shout out to Casey Loving over there. Mm-hmm. Essentially, Chris Hansen is the person, if you've seen back in the day, How to Catch a Predator or To Catch a Predator show, Chris Hansen would come on.
Chris Hansen.
Yeah. He would come on and basically they would set up a sting operation to catch a predator on TV. It wasn't live. It was, recorded or whatever, but he would basically, they would pretend that they would have a child, you know, going to someplace to meet someone, and you know, the authority figures will be there to capture them type stuff. And there's a movie coming out led by Robert Pattinson, who's basically dramatizing.
We don't speak English here.
I don't know what's, it's, you know what, it's the time of day.
Why
that's
would
what
people
it is
expect us to?
Right, because see the way the sun is in my, anyways, basically he's making a movie of his life. And the show To Catch a Predator called Primetime. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, he hasn't been spoken to or allowed to offer any thoughts on the film that was made. On top of that, he's, from what he's seen trailer-wise, the shit he saw in the trailer, he was saying that it's not him, like, there's conversations that he has with people in real life that the way they're portraying it in the film isn't the same. He was like, the way that they're making me look via Robert Pattinson is not accurate. They're making me look more cynical is not the word, but just basically looking for ratings as opposed to catching predators. And he's like, that's, you know, it's not a good look. And he doesn't know how he feels about it. He said he spoke to a lawyer and they're like, he potentially has a case. Because usually when we have these type of, you know, fictitious dramas based on someone's life, it's after they've already passed, at least from what I can think of. And the fact that he's alive and a lot of people from the show are alive, it seems like, oh, if you're going to do this, you should speak to them about it a little bit, you know, because for the people who don't know, there was an episode of To Catch a Predator where someone actually died. They usually have the predator, or the person is lured to like a hotel or something like that, and they catch them. This person kind of got wise what was happening and went to their house. And so the show kind of followed. And when it went to the person's house, they ended up killing themselves before the authorities could get into the house and arrest them or whatever. And so that was obviously a big deal. And, you know, so there's people on both sides that are like, you know, you're painting him as, and, you know, Chris Hansen in a certain light. You're also painting potentially what happened in a light that might not be accurate. And because people actually lost their lives, or people went to jail, or people went whatever, this could be, you know, you're digging into old wounds type stuff. And again, it's Hollywood. People don't care. But for the most part, again, those people are either dead or they spoken to an estate, you know, or it's a biopic where, you know, you can kind of smudge the edges a little bit. This isn't the case. This is all like full on drama, which means they are kind of doing their own thing and not being factual. And that kind of makes it, I don't know, it's a little icky, I think. A little icky, you know?
Yeah.
And so because of that, he was speaking on it and was like, he hasn't ruled it out. What was one of the more interesting things with him talking about it was the fact that he wanted to see the film, because maybe he, you know, based on the trailers, that's not a good enough indication of what's going to be there. And so he's like, you know, let me check it out. I'll sign an NDA saying that I won't, you know, speak on the quality of it. But then I can kind of make my choice in terms of, you know, go the lawsuit route. But he is saying that A24 blocked him from seeing the film unless he signed away his rights. He's saying his name, his image, his brand, and, you know, that'd be the thing. Essentially being like, hey, we'll let you see it, but you can't sue us afterwards. You can't say anything about it. You can't do anything. And if we make extra movies, if we make Primetime 2, you can't do anything about it. In the article, though, there's a source that said a source that was knowledgeable told The Wrap that Hansen was asked to sign a standard NDA, not the NDA that he was talking about, a week in advance, which all preview audience are required to sign to watch an unreleased film. So the same thing happens with me when I go to if I go to a screening or a screener is sent to me, I'm not signing an NDA, but it's understood that there's an NDA that, hey, yeah, you can't speak on A, B, and C until after the embargo, and then you can say whatever you want. In this case, they're saying from the source was that he got a standard NDA, not the NDA that he was saying. They said The Wrap has come to understand that this NDA was meant to prevent spoilers and protect the studio's IP, and that Hansen was not asked to sign away his rights. So there's a bit of a discrepancy there. Hansen, however, asserts that David, I can't say his last name, I don't want to ruin it, who directed the documentary Predators about Hansen and the shows like To Catch a Predator, saw the film without signing such an NDA. So if he got to see it early and he didn't have to sign the NDA, how come I can't see it, considering I'm the person that you're making the movie about or whatever? I could kind of see this a little bit on AT4's position, where they're like, no matter what we do, you're probably not going to like the film, so we want to have you sign something. That being said, he should be able to feel a way because you're making a movie about me. You know what I mean? Like, duh. Like, what you thought this was? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think that's interesting that this is happening. And how do you even go about – because I remember we were talking about a while back about AI and how people can have their likenesses, like, just put in a film. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so – but this is different. This is an actor playing you, but it's kind of under the same lines. Like, you don't have a say in how people portray you to the public, you know? What are your thoughts on the shenanigans going on?
It's a lot of shenaniganery, and the shenanigans are shenaniganing, but
right?
I have an issue with Hansen talking to Jesse Waters from Fox. Okay. That's actually where I'm going to start.
Yeah.
I feel like there was anybody else you could have had interview you to talk about this.
Yeah.
Versus sensationalist news headquarters Fox.
Right.
And Jesse Waters, of all people, who's
right.
not an actual interviewer, is just an actor in plenty of makeup on a show that is an entertainment show, not a news outlet. So
yeah.
I have Facts. A problem with that, because I feel like if you wanted to really kind of talk about this, that you could have talked to anyone else.
Yeah.
Almost anyone else. I just feel like other news outlets would have taken this just fine and had a decent conversation with you as well. But Jesse Waters, nah, you lost me. Sorry, Chris. Sorry.
It's also interesting that he's going public with it if he's thinking about suing, because then
right.
you're ramping up whatever defense A24 is going to have.
Yeah.
You know,
this is why people said that this was just because that's something else that I read. They're like, no, this is just amping up the film and eventual payout. Like, that's it. It's just like, oh, now people are interested in this. It's just working for everybody.
Right.
Because again, if this was like very serious, you wouldn't have gone on Fox News.
Exactly.
You would have gone somewhere else. But even so, you would talk to your lawyer, and then your lawyer would have said, don't say nothing to nobody. We move in silence, and then we hit them.
Exactly.
But no, you're going to the most sensationalist place possible. So boost their numbers, boost the movie. The movie gets all kinds of, I mean, Robert Pattinson is on his glory tour. Okay.
This Facts.
Man has been in movie after movie after movie, hit after hit after hit. He's making money. So, I mean, and this, you know, now that we're all talking about this, this movie's going to make all kinds of money, and you'll have more to sue for.
Potentially.
Like,
so. Or it could be a money grab too. If he's like, hey, you're going to do this? Cool. Cut me a check.
Yep,
right.
Yeah. After you go through all this, and then it's going to be like, hey, okay, here, just cut me this.
Right.
Because you made 200 grand more, not 200 grand, but let's say you made 200 million more dollars. Maybe it's not going to be that much. Let's say you made 60 million more dollars than you would have. So, cut me about 15% of that.
Right.
I didn't have to do nothing except go talk to Jesse Waters, which actually pay me another 5 million for that, because that sucks.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they paid you for that too. You know, these news appearances, people get all kinds of money.
It's wild, because I would never. That's not how we do things. No sorry.
They pay me to go on the news, but nobody cares. I mean,
right?
I could talk about synthetic wigs.
There you go. Hey, some of those wigs that we talked about before on some of them shows were terrible. So yes, I need you to do that.
I still stand by my strong stance, and I'm definitely happy that on one of our comments, the costume maker had commented.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, I stand by what I said. You are not hiring the right people to do makeup for these characters. When you decide you want to turn half of your cast black, then you need to make sure that you have the proper hair and makeup people in there. Because I'm sorry, the wigs is trash. And the wigs is not trash just on the black people. The wigs is trash on the white people too, okay?
Yes.
Get the right people. Get Beyonce's team, or get Beyonce's team's children. Somebody who learned under somebody who's on Beyonce's team to come over there and do these darn wigs, okay? Because what I can't stand is a wig that looks like it's made out of yarn on somebody who's supposed to have dreadlocks. Why is his wig yellow when he's supposed to have platinum silver hair?
That's yeah. Yellow. Yeah.
That don't make no sense. And why does it look like yarn? Why is it twisted? Okay, that's not a dreadlock. That's a
yeah, twist. Like it's not. Oh my gosh. It's
like, just come on, talk to me. And I don't even lay my wigs like that. Look. I do, I can, and I have. But what I'm trying to say is that over there is not okay. Okay? It's not satisfactory. And it's so easy. Why can't you guys call the right people? Do you remember the person who did the people who did the wig, Napstar, who did the wigs for Wakanda Forever?
Yes.
Who literally did Lupita Nyong'o's wig, because that was a wig. And I think people didn't, I mean, I'm pretty sure people would know it's a wig because everybody knows Lupita Nyong'o doesn't have dreadlocks.
Right.
But she does not wear her hair in dreads, but she's wearing dreads in the movie. And it's like, and it's not Michonne. Okay. Mind you, obviously, denies in the same movie. But Michonne's wig is trash, and everyone knows it. And I have talked about this multiple
yes.
effing times. And it's not just her wig that's the problem in that show. All kinds of other technical things are wrong. People's nails. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Facts.
None of it makes any sense. Okay? But her wig looks amazing in that movie in Wakanda Forever. It's amazing because they got people who actually do dreadlocks with human hair.
Right.
And we went over to this show, Hot D. And I'm like, what is on these kids' head? What was on that poor little girl's head in season one? What did y'all do? And then.
Hey, people, you know, you got the wrong people in charge sometimes and things go astray. Speaking of having the wrong people in charge, I don't know who's in charge over at Gamescom, but things have been going wrong left and right. Apparently, there was a lot of theft happening at Gamescom, and Gamescom spoke out about it in a way that wasn't befitting of them, I don't think. Looking at Kotaku, shout out to Lewis Parker over there. Gamescom has officially commented on reports of stolen equipment. For people who don't know, developers had their laptops and, you know, storage devices and whatever the case, stolen during the Gamescom show. For people who don't know what that is, it's basically a con for showing games. So think of E3, think of, you know, PAX, think of stuff like that where a developer would come, they would have their laptop and stuff, they'll demo the game to press, to fans, they'll have contests, tournaments, all this good stuff. And it's supposed to, the idea is that their stuff is supposed to be secure, right? That we're going to come here to this because you have to pay. Like, this is not something where Gamescom, I believe, you know, is inviting people, but they also, you have to pay to set up a booth there. You have to pay a certain amount of money. And so Gamescom does provide security, but apparently not as much as they should. And I'm curious to what y'all think about what they said about it. So let's go back to the article real quick. All right. So Gamescom has officially commented on reports of stolen equipment from several developers who attended the event this month. In its response isn't going down very well. While Gamescom noted in its statement that the reports make us very sad, it also appears to be dodging direct blame for the thefts by noting that, as noted in the terms and conditions of participation and the technical guidelines, attendees can book individual stand security and ensure equipment against theft. So what they're saying is we have security, but if you want extra security, you pay for those extra securities to come stand in your booth and make sure no one does stuff, right? So that's red flag number one. And I have like thoughts that are like contrary a little bit, but I'm going to get to those in a sec. Yesterday, Ryan Lely, back at the article, the indie developer behind the upcoming game Mimic, shared a tearful video on X detailing the overnight theft of his equipment at Gamescom 2026 in Cologne, Germany. My Gamescom was cut short, stated Lely's. Our equipment was stolen last night from the booth. At a loss, I'm a loss for words to describe the feeling. Just feel defeated, et cetera, et cetera. One of the questions that people were asking was, were you allowed to leave your stuff in the booth overnight? Shouldn't you just bring it back with you? I think the difficulty in setting up a booth and breaking it down every day, considering it's an ongoing thing, might be why that some people wouldn't do that. But even if that's, you know, what the hill that you die on, another developer was saying that once someone actually broke into their storage locker that was there. The I Am 8-Bit company shared a similar story, saying today at Gamescom we arrived to our station in the business area hall to discover that our two laptops have been stolen overnight despite the presence of security. So security was there. Another developer said on Wednesday we arrived at our booth in the indie area to find our cabinet forced open. So there's the thing that they had locked up was forced open. They stole two laptops and a Steam Deck. All right, so people are, and apparently this isn't the first year that this happened. This has happened, you know, previous years or whatever. The response from Gamescom has been bad on several levels. And the idea that, like, we want you to, you know, purchase extra security is a little much. Here's the thing. When I first heard this, I was thinking about, like for instance, we have, and this is different, obviously, but we have, like, parking decks, right? When I was going to school, VCU, they have parking decks and you can park there. You pay to park there. And they'll say, there'll be a big sign that says, hey, we got security that's going to roam around. However, if you leave something in your seat, you know what I'm saying? It gets stolen. That's on you. You know what I mean? Like, park at your own risk type situation and whatnot. Obviously that's not a one-to-one because you're using a space to park. You're not setting up a booth that actually attracts people to come to Gamescom and spend their money, right? Mm-hmm. That's a partnership type of situation. That being said, I do understand places having clauses in there where we can provide some security, not all security because whatever the case may be. That being said, the fact that things were broken into overnight, the fact that these were areas where the equipment was handled or was placed in lockers and stuff like that was still broken into. The fact that you had security that was on site and things still happened. Mm-hmm. And then you go on to say that, hey, you could potentially purchase more security as in like an insurance for the people there. It's like, why wouldn't you just have the security there anyways? Make that anyway. A part of your fee. Like, hey, you want to set up a booth here. What we're going to do is you pay to have your booth here. We're going to have a guy come, you know, security on specifically for you. That's a part of the package. That would make more sense than actually have to charge extra. And mind you, this is a very big com or whatever. Like, a lot of people go to this thing. A lot of people fly out to this thing. Mm-hmm. International situation. There's going to be a lot of people at any given time. You have to have enough security, an adequate amount of security. So the idea that like you have people on reserve that people can buy to be extra security is wild to me because they should just be securing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Just be there.
Right. And so like any of the bit of like, you know, bail I could shoot them, they shot in the foot with the statement because I'm like, what do you mean I have to pay for extra security on top of the security you already have? When I have my stuff locked away in the area that developers put their stuff in, like that's, you should want that to be secure because why would I come back to your show the next year?
Never come back.
You know what I mean? It's such a weird response for them. And it's kind of like shifting the blame. Like, hey, we're sad that this stuff happened, but you know, we told you buy the extra, you know, insurance. We told you that stuff be going down. It's Germany. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's not how that works.
At this point, it's like, well, there's no benefit. I mean, not benefit, but there's actually no, what's the word that I'm trying to find? But there's guarantee. There was no guarantee that extra security was going to do anything anyway. Like, what if extra security took a bathroom break?
Exactly.
Okay. Like, I just don't feel like that makes a lot of sense. And I just feel like this is a situation where either they didn't realize that this was, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the history of this con, and if this is something that has happened before, this is something that happens, you know, where it's like, oh, okay, well, this is what happened, so this is the, because we don't want this to happen at all, this is the level of security we have. But it's like, okay, and again, because I haven't been there, I don't know what kind of building it's in, but I have been to certain ones,
right,
certain installations where it's like, hey, it's the entire build, this is a 12-story building, and this whole building has you know, this whole thing. So what level of security did you have securing the building?
Yeah.
That, so that there wasn't unidentified individuals that made it into, what is your baseline security?
Yeah.
That you, who's watching your cameras? Who's walking your floors? This, that, and the other. Like, are people who are part of the con, do they not have a specific time where they are required to leave? Like, you can't just, even though people who are allowed to be there because they have, you know, access because they are presenting, but don't they need to leave at certain points?
Well, that's the thing. Someone, what they're alluding to is that someone was there, either people who worked there or someone was there after hours because it was broken into overnight. And they were saying that they had security there patrolling at night and it still happened. So it's like, what do you mean I have to buy extra security? Like, the place should be locked down at night. Like that's a 100% you thing. It's one thing to be like, you need extra security during a show. You know, you're showing stuff off or you're going to the bathroom and you have no one manning your booth. That makes sense, you know, aside from cameras and stuff, but overnight, no one should be here.
Secured. Yeah. Nobody should be here. Even the people who literally are presenting shouldn't be here. No one.
Exactly.
Here. The only people who should be here are the security people.
Right.
No one else should be here. The cleaning people have cleaned. Okay.
Facts.
Con ends at 11 p.m. Cleaning people have come in. They've done their job. They're gone. They fucked off at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. or whatever. The security has been there the whole time. Security has watched the cleaning people.
Okay? Right.
You know?
What are we doing?
What is happening?
Yeah. Like, that's not. So,
I don't know.
And it's not cheap. Like the idea of like paying for extra security, like I don't know how much that costs, but being an indie developer, flying out, setting up, paying for a booth, paying for a hotel, paying for, you know, because they're there multiple days. All that's a lot of money on top of the fact that you're developing a game, like that's expensive. And so, you know, you would think like, because what if somebody got hurt? You know, like, because we're not even talking about the fact that, like, me and you are mentioning it, but Gamescom isn't, in a sense that something happened overnight. They're saying that the security was there. But what if a security guard got hurt? What if, you know, like, you're not thinking like our, you know, the conference building, and I know they don't necessarily own it. They're renting the space, but the building itself, was broken into overnight, and then our stuff was, you know, the developer stuff was stolen. Yeah. That's a whole nother level of not being secured. And I don't know if it's a thing where Gamescom is like, we paid for security for the day, and then the building security takes over for at night. That would actually would have been a better statement to make. Like, hey, our security handles the day, and then when we're gone, you know, the whoever owns the building is that's their security that steps in at night. You know what I mean? And we would advise people to take their stuff overnight because of that, because we can't promise it's going to be secure. That would have been a way better statement if that was the case. But they're like, pay for extra. Are the extra going to be there overnight? I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? Like,
figure that all out. I really want to, like, does extra security mean that you literally get two people for your booth because one is going to the bathroom?
You know what I mean?
Like, that's what I'm just trying to figure all of that out, because I just feel like it was a stupid thing to say.
Yeah,
it's just a kind of a silly thing to say. This should. We are so sorry this happened. We work really diligently to make sure that these things didn't happen. That is under investigation.
Yeah,
we'll have more information later. But then just to pop out and be like, "Well, you know, you guys should have gotten that insurance when your insurance can't guarantee shit."
Facts.
You can't stand up in a court of law and say, "Hey, can you prove that your extra security would have stopped this? Can you prove it?" Because you can't.
But
you can't prove it. And so how are you going to,
can you say, if I would have bought the extra security and my stuff was still stolen, would you reimburse me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, would you reimburse me? Probably not.
Why not? Reimburse me for not only the extra paid security, but also the stuff that got stolen.
Exactly. Because it's
inside job is this nonsense.
Right. Because it's, you know, it's insurance, right? Like, you know, insure some stuff. Oh, man. Anywho, shout out to everyone involved. Hopefully, you know, you get your stuff back or some type of. I feel bad about the guy for the Mimic game, because I believe most of it was there. I have to look into it a little bit more, but I believe a lot of the stuff that was gone or was stolen was a certain build of his game. I don't know how much he can get back, or that was on his home computer that he can kind of, you know, hopefully he made a copy of whatever it is. You know, I'm not a developer, but hopefully he can get that stuff back. Shout out to everyone that's hanging out with us or hung out with us for the entire show. If you dig the content, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming your way. If you didn't know, we've added the game section back to the YouTube channel, because I wanted the podcast and everything to kind of grow in terms of numbers. And I also wanted the algorithm to do its thing when it comes to the Gamecast. And so far, it's been doing pretty well. So I felt like we can actually move the gaming stuff back in for the people who are looking into, you know, wanting to see that. Not just the Sims stuff, but the other stuff that we've been doing on the YouTube channel. Essentially, one-stop shop for a lot of cool stuff. So again, share with your friends and enemies and your exes. Again, you can ghost them if you need to. You know what I'm saying? Get a burner phone. They cheat. Wow. Get a burner phone. You feel me? Smoke signals, you know, freaking Morse code, all that good stuff works. Whatever gets them to click on stuff. And actually watch, because YouTube has done this thing where they're changing how views work, and it might hurt more than help. So definitely, you know, have them look at what it is. And if you don't like the show, totally understandable. But someone you know might like the show, so go ahead and share it anyway.
No, it's not understandable. What are you guys talking about? So thanks for rocking with us. Thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate you guys. Remember, do what I say. Don't be a dick. That's the most important thing. Don't be a dick, y'all. Wash your hands, wash your faces, wash your butts. and your legs and just your whole bodies and your underarms because it's hot out here. It's
100 yes.
degrees and nobody has time for it.
And so, you know who you are going to PAX and any of the cons and you don't bathe? Okay, now.
Expensive out there and hotels is expensive, but I mean, at least do something. Do like what the Sims do. They took a bath in the rain and stuff. You gotta do something.
You gotta do something. Something.
Stock up on some extra deodorants, not the salt kind.
Dog, hotel comes with free soap, fam. Free soap.
Deodorants, free lotions.
Yeah, use it. All of it. Just use it. It's there.
If you need to.
Right?
Anyway, yeah. So all of those things, y'all. See you next time. Bye-bye.